You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
From the depths of the sea, this is Transmissions from Atlantis, a sci-fi, fantasy, and horror podcast with a special emphasis on Doctor Who. Featuring the creators of Seekers of the Lost World, Rita and J.C. Delatorre.
Hello everybody, my name is J.C. Delatorre.
And I'm Rita Delatorre.
And this is episode 116 of Transmissions from Atlantis.
Woohoo!
And we got a great episode for you this week. Again, we are talking about The Walking Dead, as well as Westworld, Doctor Strange, Sherlock, as we have our great debate, Sherlock versus Sherlock. Sherlock the television series versus Sherlock the movie series.
I will win.
You might win this time, but you have a distinct advantage, I think.
Cumberbatches.
I don't know how many downy bitches there are out there. There might have been, 20 years ago, but maybe not as many now. We'll also be talking about our experience meeting David Tennant, the 10th Doctor.
You mean all 10 seconds of it?
Yes, all 10 seconds of it. plus a whole bunch of other stuff, so let's go ahead and get to it with Rapid Fire. All right, folks, Rapid Fire!
Every single time, really?
Yes.
All right, so we're going to start off first with The Walking Dead. And this is the episode where King Ezekiel...
And Shiva
arrive.
Yes.
Now, Shiva is King Ezekiel's pet tiger.
Yep.
Well, what I have to say about this episode is that it was a quiet episode in comparison to the last episode, and I am grateful for that.
And, it's always that way with shows like The Walking Dead or Game of Thrones, where you have a very big traumatic episode. They usually follow it up with an easier-to-digest episode, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And this one was actually a little bit funny. We got to meet the people of the kingdom, including King Ezekiel, who is one of the more interesting characters in The Walking Dead comic book series.
I like his second-in-command. That guy's funny.
Jerry's not part of the comic series, believe it or not.
Really?
Yes. But he is hilarious. In fact, I saw a meme the other day, if they kill Jerry, we riot.
Yeah, Jerry was fun. I like King Ezekiel because I think he is... He's definitely a little crazy. I mean, not like dangerous crazy, but he's the, I'm really getting into the whole King Ezekiel thing crazy.
King Ezekiel isn't crazy. King Ezekiel is a great strategist. And in that, he saw a need, had classical training as an actor, and decided he would assume the role and help his people by being larger than life and playing a role.
And it sort of kind of helps that you have a pet tiger who loves you to death.
Right, yeah. And of course, like he said, that kind of creates all kinds of rumors and stuff. Let's wrap up this one. I'm going to say this one last thing for people watching. Keep an eye out for King Ezekiel and Carol. Because there may be some sparks flying there.
Which should have been flying with somebody else, in the comic, but that person is...
Otherwise...
Spoken for,
yes. So, the whole speech of Ezekiel giving his life story to Carol, that was given to that other person, so...
Well, think about it. Carol's not even supposed to be alive at this point.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see how that all develops. Next up, huge orgy in Westworld that draws the ire of parents.
Yeah. You guys remember when we had a rant, what was it, last episode or the episode before
that?
No,
it was
last
episode.
Okay.
Yeah, last episode.
About how you shouldn't let your kids watch certain things, or else that makes you a bad parent. Westworld is one of these things. Don't bitch about it, just don't let your kids watch it.
It's on HBO, late at night. It's HBO, Nimrods. Of course they're gonna have boobs. And sex. And all kinds of craziness. Have you not seen Game of Thrones? For crying out loud!
Yeah, seriously. I mean, if you're a parent and you're pissed off because of some orgy or whatever your kids watch, this is not the show's fault. This is not the network's fault. This is your fault.
It's your fault for having the TV be your babysitter. So, sorry. We don't feel sorry for you.
Stop trying to ruin the awesome shows for adults.
Right.
Next up, Doctor Strange.
Yep, Doctor Strange is expected to mesmerize the box office this weekend. They're projecting as much as $70 million as an open.
That would be cool. From what we've seen on the trailers, the movie looks like it's going to be amazeballs. I just hope we will have time to catch it sometime over the weekend.
Yep, and it has your man Benny Cumberbatch in it, so obviously it'll be interesting to see.
Cumber bitches!
The Cumber bitches will unite.
Speaking of Cumberbatch, Sherlock is finally coming back this January, and the trailer looked amazing.
Yes. In fact, I gotta say, I don't think I've ever seen Sherlock that kind of shooken up in a trailer. Of course, Sherlock could have been playing one of his characters, you know.
Yeah, but you have a theory on what could be the only thing that could shake him up that much. Then again, you know, he has been known to fake emotions before.
Yes, so it might be just something where he's just faking an emotion, or it could be something very tragic, like Mycroft, or even worse, John dying. Although there's no precedence in the Arthur Conan Doyle's stories of John Watson dying, because how can John Watson die? He's the writer.
That's right. He's the one who tells the story.
Tells the story. He's the narrator, so yep. It'd be a little hard to kill him off.
So next up, Johnny Depp is going to be a supporting character in the Fantastic Beasts sequel. Well, at least that's the rumor. I don't think it's been 100% confirmed.
No, actually, it's pretty much confirmed now.
Was it?
Yep.
Okay. I know as of yesterday it was a rumor. Cool.
And I guess we should enjoy Fantastic Beasts while we have it, because anything Johnny Depp seems to touch nowadays turns to crap, so.
Oh, it does not.
It does too.
He's a great actor, and he's not starring in it. He's just going to be a supporting character. We've got 5 movies for Fantastic Beasts to look forward to, and I think this is amazing. It's J.K. Rowling. It's in the Harry Potter universe. Even Johnny Depp can't mess anything up.
And don't get me wrong. I love Johnny Depp. I think he's a great actor. He's one of my favorite actors. But let's face it. His Pirates series has pretty much gone down the tubes. And every other movie that he's done since Pirates has seemed to crash and burn at the box office. So that's kind of why I made that comment.
I get it, but it's not knocking on Johnny Depp, because we still think he's a great actor.
Yep. And speaking of the Harry Potter universe, we're going to be heading to Conjuration in Atlanta this weekend.
Woohoo! Harry Potter!
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
That's the best you can do?
That's the best I could do.
Well,
we are going to be on a Remembering Alan Rickman panel. And I know we're on a few other panels, so keep an eye out, folks. We'll hopefully be able to post a schedule on everything we're going to be doing soon.
Well, I don't know about that, because I don't know when we're going to get our schedule. We might already be there by the time we get our schedule. But I do know that we will be on a few Dr. Geek-related panels, talking about our characters, Rick and Sam, of Dr. Geek's Laboratory. And stuff like that. So I know that they have us on a couple panels, and we'll be around. And the cool thing about Conjuration is it's a bit like Time Gate, or I guess it's Hoolanta now, where it's not a bigger con. You know, it's not like this huge, ginormous Dragon Con kind of thing. So it'll be a little bit more friendly. You should see us walking around and saying hello to people, and We'll be wearing our Transmissions from Atlantis t-shirt, so we shouldn't be too hard to spot. And we look forward to meeting everybody.
Woohoo! Harry Potter!
And that's going to do it for our rapid fire segment. Coming up next, Sherlock versus Sherlock.
4 years, Dr. Geek has toiled in obscurity, trying to realize the future through the science of applied geekdom. Pressured to prove his theories or lose funding, Dr. Geek has now opened the doors of his amazing laboratory to public participation and public collaboration. With the help of his partner, Mr. Flask, a test subject known as Mr. Creature, and a computer called the Deus Ex Machine, Dr. Geek conducts an investigation into the world of tomorrow, creating the future by discussing it.
Do you want me to turn down the oxygen in the labyrinth?
Oh boy, the things I get to do for science!
That's not a good sound.
And why is this sticky?
Join the discussion at www.drgeeklab.com.
All right, folks, it's debate night, and this week's debate is Sherlock, the television series, and we're talking about Sherlock, the BBC television series, not the 1970s Sherlocks or that horrible CBS
Elementary.
One. We're talking about the Benny Cumberbatch, Martin Freeman Sherlock.
Yes.
Against Robert Downey Jr.'s version of Sherlock in the new Sherlock movie franchise. And I will give you the first salvo.
You're giving me the opening argument?
Yes.
Okay. Here's what I have to say about the television series. It is the shiznit!
Really?
Yes.
That's what you're opening with?
Yep. The fact is, with each episode, they're basing it off of one of the books, like A Study in Pink, The Hound of the Baskervilles, and they're doing a modern interpretation of Sherlock Holmes. And then Sherlock himself is still this antisocial sociopath, is that the word?
Yeah.
Who,
high-functioning sociopath.
Yes, high-functioning sociopath who has a brilliant mind for deduction.
We all know who Sherlock Holmes is, man. You don't have to break down his character.
But I have to. It's so awesome.
Uh-huh.
But anywho, you have a lot of the same characters, but as I mentioned, everything's on this modern spin, but it's just fantastic the way they meld what he does with, you know, his gift versus what's available in the modern world. For example, in Elementary, he freaking Googles. Sherlock in the BBC show doesn't Google. He goes into his mind palace.
Right. So, here's my thing about the movies.
Lame.
What I love about the movies is that it is still a period piece. And for me, Sherlock Holmes always worked best as a period piece. Being set in the 19th century, which is when the Arthur Conan Doyle stories were written. And Sherlock Holmes really is a 19th century kind of man. And Robert Downey Jr. does such an amazing job as Sherlock, giving him a little bit more depth than just being some kind of manic sociopath. He's also got, there's always a plan behind those eyes of Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock of the TV series has his mind palace. So does Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock, only he's always thinking like 10 steps ahead of the next person. And he's already figured out what exactly he's going to do before he actually does it and then executes that plan usually to perfection. And that's what I really love about this version of Sherlock, is that even though he's a 19th century mind, he can still project a 21st century guy.
I don't see that at all. Okay. Going back to the television series, the actor that plays Sherlock, Benedict Cumberbatch, is one of the most brilliant actors I've seen in an extremely long time. I was introduced to him while watching Sherlock. That was the first time I ever even heard of Benedict Cumberbatch. Robert Downey Jr., been there, done that.
Are you kidding me? Robert Downey Jr. is one of the best actors in the world. He's one of the most bankable actors in the world. He's Iron Man, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, and before that, he was a crackhead who didn't even work. He's only popular now because he got himself clean.
So, all I know is Sherlock Holmes was nominated for 2 Oscars. So, you tell me how bad of a version of Sherlock Holmes that is if it's been nominated for 2 Oscars.
Oh, so it got nominated for 2 Oscars. Well, how many wins did the TV show has? Because I lost count, and they've been nominated for more awards than the movies ever did, so...
Well, there's more of them, so what do you expect?
But here's what I love about the television series, okay? So what, we've gotten maybe, what, 3 Sherlock movies? Or is it just 2?
2, and they're working on the 3rd.
And with the television series, each episode is movie length. And they can tell the entire story within that time frame. It's not going to be like A Study in Pink that's going to be dragged, you know, 3 episodes or anything like that. And then we have 3 episodes each year, except for that 1 year where we
each
had
year?
Like a
Did
year
you wait, 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 wait. Did you say each year? No. The problem with Sherlock the TV series is there's like 5 years in between each season.
It's not five years.
Crazy. How do you make your fan base wait like 3 or 4 years between frickin' seasons?
That was only between seasons 1
bullcrap!
Or no, 2 and 3.
No, that's bullcrap, because they did it between season 1 and 2 as well.
Yeah, but by the time we heard about it, seasons 1 and 2 were already out.
It doesn't matter. That they've made their fans wait that frickin' long. It's like waiting for George R. R. Martin to write a frickin' book!
Yeah, but here's the thing. Yes, they do make us wait a long time between seasons. But it is worth the freaking wait.
And even worse, when the last season debuted, what did they do? They put the episodes on 3 consecutive days. So you waited 3 freaking years for 3 episodes that were done in a weekend!
Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay. Well, what about the Sherlock movies? There's only 2. It was years and years in between the films, and it's probably going to be another year or 2 before the next film comes out.
It wasn't years and years. You're wrong. That's not true. Because the first Sherlock film was made in 2009, and the second Sherlock film was made in 2011.
Uh-huh.
And Sherlock Holmes 3 will be coming out next year.
It's 2017! Since 2011, that's what, 5-6 years?
Yes.
All right, so then your argument is bullshit.
Well, Robert Downey Jr.
Even Moffat didn't make us wait freaking 5-6 years.
Well, Robert Downey Jr.'s been a little busy being freaking Iron Man.
Yeah, at least he didn't go back on the drugs.
And let me tell you this. Jude Law is a much better Watson than Martin Freeman.
Oh, please. Oh, my God. No.
Yes.
Martin Freeman is the most amazing John Watson
you are
since ever freaking
no,
ever.
He's not.
Yes,
no,
he
he's
is.
Not. Jude Law actually is Watson. He is what Watson's supposed to be. Martin Freeman is just a whiny little biatch.
He is not whiny. Oh my God. No. No freaking no.
Yes, he is. Oh, I'm not gay. I'm not Sherlock's boyfriend. Oh, I desperately want to date this woman, but Sherlock keeps screwing it up for me. You don't see any of that crap from Jude Law.
That's because Jude Law's already practically engaged at the time these movies start, and that's another thing. They don't even cover any of the stories the original stories.
That's bullcrap!
It's like a continuation or a reboot.
Well, the first one was a reboot. The second one was had Moriarty in it.
It still didn't make sense.
It followed the story exactly!
No, they didn't.
They totally did!
They did not!
Right down to the waterfall!
See, folks, I'm shaking my head because I think with the movies, they took a lot of freaking liberties with the original story.
You want to talk liberties? How about the Hound of Baskervilles is suddenly some medical experiment from the military?
Hey, I will concede that.
Come on now.
But, you know, they are trying to make a more modern adaptation, so there are going to be some differences. But there's the essence of the story is still there.
No, it's not. The Sherlock Holmes film series is actually much closer to the original stories than
You're only saying that because it's a period film.
That's not true.
Yes,
they
yes,
follow
it is.
The story more closely.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No. You're wrong!
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 It's huge, okay?
No, don't go there.
It's a great movie. Make Sherlock Holmes great again.
See, you just lost the entire debate right there. No one's going to vote for your ass now.
Wrong! All right, folks. If you think Rita won the debate, definitely vote for Rita on our Facebook page.
Come on, bitches, unite!
If you think I won the debate with Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law and the true Sherlock Holmes, vote for me. On our Facebook page, Transmissions from Atlantis, the transmissions are received, as well as pretty much all of our other Facebook pages, because we'll be sharing it out all over the damn place, so you shouldn't be missing it. And if you have any questions or any comments in regards to our debate, feel free to contribute them on that particular thread. And also, if you have any suggestions for the next great debate, definitely let us know. Coming up next, Doctor Who.
When one speaks of the perfect symmetry between science fiction, fantasy, and horror podcasting, with a special emphasis on Doctor Who, one should become a connoisseur of Transmissions from Atlantis, featuring JC and Rita Della Torre. While both will have a passionate and vigorous argument on the subject of the day, they do so with the utmost class. Harry Potter fan that thinks they're the only fandom that has passionate fans. That's a bunch of crap.
You know what? That is bullcrap. Harry Potter fans do not believe that way, and I don't even know where you're pulling that
from.
Well,
that's absolutely what you just said.
The whole
proves that point. Respect.
What? That wasn't stupid.
You're stupid.
You're stupid.
You're stupid. Stupid. And dignity.
Commander Riker here! I'm by the book! Yeah.
Prime Directive, can I get
Prime Directive! Geeky!
Join Transmissions from Atlantis weekly at transmissionsfromatlantis.com and part of the ESO network. Yes, it's quite good, really.
Hello, this is Nick Briggs, the voice of the Daleks, and you're listening to Transmissions from Atlantis. And I urge you to listen, or you will be exterminated!
Where is the Doctor now?
I haven't the faintest idea.
Is that credible?
It's true.
You're the woman he loves.
No, I'm not.
She's lying.
The Doctor does not and has never loved me. I'm not lying.
Confirmed. The life form is not lying.
Impossible. This is a trick.
No, it isn't.
My information is correct. You are the woman who loves the Doctor.
Yes, I am. I've never denied it. But whoever said he loved me back? He's the Doctor. He doesn't go around falling in love with people. And if you think he's anything that small or that ordinary, then you haven't the first idea of what you're dealing with.
Your Majesty, I assure you, she is the perfect bait. When this woman is in danger, the Doctor will always come.
Oh, you are a moron. No, he won't.
He's probably already here.
No, he isn't. Of course he isn't.
Possibly on this ship.
Well, go on. Scan it, then. Go on, why don't you?
River.
Two hearts, stupid clothes. You can't miss him.
River.
Go on, scan the whole parsec. He's not here.
God knows where he is right now, but I promise you, he's doing whatever the hell he wants and not giving a damn about me! And I'm just fine with that! When you love the Doctor, it's like loving the stars themselves. You don't expect a sunset to admire you back. And if I happen to find myself in danger, let me tell you, the Doctor is not stupid enough or sentimental enough, and he is certainly not in love enough to find himself standing in it with me!
Alright, folks, you guys know that music. It's time for Doctor Who, and we met a
David
doctor.
David Tennant! Woo!
Yes. Ow. I've lost hearing in my ear, but yes, we met the 10th Doctor, David Tennant, albeit very briefly.
It was 10 seconds of pure awesomeness.
Okay, now I'm getting a little jealous here.
Oh, come on. It was David freaking Tennant.
Yes, it was very cool to meet David. He was very, very nice. And what I really enjoyed about meeting him, even though we didn't really get to talk to him all that much, was his general warmness. I mean, he had a big smile when you come and walk up to him and meet him and shake his hand and stuff. And he's one of the actors that really gets it, you know, that understands that he's there because the fans put him there and fell in love with him. And obviously he's a tremendous talent, but it's not just that, you know.
It's because he started off as a fan.
Yep, and he could be the greatest talent in the world, but if he's an arrogant jerk and nobody likes him, then he's not going to be around for too much longer, you know?
Shatner!
Do you have something in your throat there?
No, I'm good now.
But yeah, David really gets it, and, you know, he loves his fans, and, you know, it's kind of funny, we were seeing our friends on Facebook post their pictures with David, and he kind of did the same thing with them, you know, big smiles, whereas posing in Doctor Who poses, and, you know, holding sonic screwdrivers, and, you know, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, so it was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was really, really cool meeting him, because even though you're given 10 seconds, because the photo op company is trying to move everybody as quickly as possible.
Yep.
But he made that effort to try to connect with you. He may not know your name, but he still appreciates the fact that you're a fan of the show, you're a fan of his, and that you're there to see him.
Yep, definitely. David is, I think it was worth the money that we spent to meet him. I know it was like 1 second, and you're with him for like 5 seconds, and then you're gone, and that was like $100.
Yeah.
But that picture is going to last us a lifetime with the 10th Doctor, our Doctor. You know, I grew up on the 4th Doctor, so he was originally my Doctor. But of the new series, David Tennant is still my Doctor.
Yeah, mine too. Totally agreed there. And, I mean, who doesn't, you know, fantasize of bumping into, like, David Tennant, like, at a restaurant or a bar and sitting down and be able to have, like, a conversation with the person, you know what I mean? But, you know, stuff like that's not going to happen. So this is the best, this is the more realistic type of meeting, and it was really cool.
Well, if David was at a smaller con, you know, kind of like a Timegate kind of thing, right? Like a Hulanta. If he went to something like that, you could conceivably meet him in a bar or something, and, you know, and
strike up a conversation.
Yeah, definitely. But something like Tampa Bay MegaCon,
No. Yeah, something like that would never happen.
He was so guarded, and you know, there was just so many people there that wanted a piece of him that it just wasn't going to happen.
In fact, I think my only complaint isn't with him, but with the actual photo op company. Because remember, when we first got there, pictures with David Tennant were sold out, and then all of a sudden it wasn't. And then all of a sudden, they were zipping everybody through so quick. And I think what happened is what they decided to move it faster so they can cram even more people in to see him.
I honestly didn't have a problem with what they did. I thought they were very organized. And, you know, it's a difficult thing when you have a big celebrity like David Tennant and that so many people want to spend time with him and have a picture with him. You know, you try to balance moving people through and getting a good experience with making a profit off of it, you know, and that's what they're trying to do. So I'm sure they paid a pretty hefty fee to have the rights to be able to be the photo company that takes the pictures of David Tennant.
That is true. You know? And it's an awesome picture, by the way.
Oh, it's a great picture. One of the one of our best pictures with a celebrity. So, and let's face it, we have David now. We have, we've had...
John Barrowman. We have a picture with Peter Davidson.
Alex Kingston.
Sylvester McCoy.
Yep. So we're starting to round out our doctors. David's the only new series doctor that we've had a chance to have a picture with, but we've had some of the classic doctors that are still knocking about, you know.
Yep.
So, kind of cool. It was very neat meeting David. We could have met Billy, too, but to be honest, I didn't really have an interest in meeting Billy.
Well, I think for this particular con trip, my goal was that I wanted to have a picture, you know, of us just with David.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get Billy at some other opportunity, but I wanted a picture with just David this time.
Yep. And it was great. I mean, your mommy was even there with us, and, you know, she's a huge David Tennant fan as well. So we all got a picture with David Tennant. And, you know, David Tennant put his arm around me and put his arm around you and, you know, smiled a big smile.
He had this huge smile on his face. And folks, if you've been to celebrity photo ops before, you've seen some celebrities smile. And you can tell when that smile is...
It's one of those fake smiles.
Fake smiles, because you don't see it projected through the rest of their face.
Right.
This is different.
Yep.
Definitely. I mean, you can see he's smiling with his whole face, and that really makes all the difference.
Yep. You feel like he's happy to be there, genuinely.
Yeah.
Even if he's not, he still projects that.
Yes, exactly.
So, that's basically it on David Tennant. It was cool to meet him. Let's talk about Power of the Daleks. So, if you're not sure what this is, so basically, Power of the Daleks is one of those lost classic episodes that was a really huge, huge episode for Doctor Who. And the reason why it was so huge was it was the episode that introduced regeneration. So, William Hartnell was leaving, either by choice or by BBC's choice. Depends on who you ask. And they had to come up with a reason why the Doctor was changing to a different actor. So a BBC writer came up with the brilliant idea of regeneration. He regenerates himself into a new body.
That had never been done before. It had never been done since.
Well, actually, it's been done 11 times since then.
Well, I mean, outside of the Doctor Whoniverse.
Well, it became such a Doctor Who thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just one of those deals where it was a brilliant concept, but back in those days, after the show ran, it stayed recorded in a studio, and eventually, BBC decided that it either wanted to overwrite all those tapes or destroy those tapes because they needed space or, you know, they just didn't want to carry old videos of Doctor Who, you know.
They didn't think they would ever need to keep those things.
Yeah, there was no such thing as VHS or DVD or Blu-ray or anything like that. So they had no idea that at some point those old Doctor Who videos would be worth a hell of a lot of money. And so a lot of the Doctor Who original series tapes were lost. And Power of the Daleks, the first episode of the second Doctor, is one of those. But what BBC has done is they've taken an animation company who has basically recreated the video version and matched it to the sound recordings that they still do have of the original episode.
That is one good thing, that with all of the episodes that they do have missing, they still have all the original audio for it.
Yes. They just don't have the video. And so it was a very unique thing that they've done, and they've done it for a bunch of other episodes as well, including The Tenth Planet, which happened to be the episode that preceded this one. What's going to be happening on November 14th is they're going to make their grand reveal of this new version of Power of the Daleks.
And they're going to be doing it through Fathom events.
Yes, so you're going to be able to see this at your local Cineplex on November 14th. And so definitely mark your calendars for that.
And get tickets early if you can, because I'm pretty sure stuff like that will sell out.
And Power of the Daleks is an important episode not only because it features the regeneration in the first episode of the second Doctor. It's also a very important episode because this really shows the inner workings of the Daleks. It was the first episode to really show the Daleks as their, wormy selves. You know, whatever the hell they are, the squiddy looking mutant thing that they are. And it also showed a Dalek factory and showing Daleks being manufactured. So interesting stuff. And so all we've had to date are these stuff that you can find online, which are these horrible still-captured videos that are set to the audio. And now you actually have the animation to go with it, so which will replace those.
Yeah, those still-capture ones, number one, they're not official. They're fan-made.
Right, they're fan-made stuff that was made by combining still photographs from the episode with the audio that's readily available.
And honestly, they're not easy to watch. I mean, for that, I'd rather just watch, just listen to the audio.
Yeah, pretty much. But these animated versions are actually very entertaining to watch. We pretty much have gotten every single one that they've done, and I can't wait to see The Power of the Daleks. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for this particular episode of Transmissions from Atlantis. We want to, again, urge everybody to get out there and vote if you're in the United States. It's election time. It's your civic duty as a U.S. citizen to go out there and vote. And remember, even if you don't like Hillary or you don't like Trump, there are many, many things we are voting on in this election, including
Mickey Mouse,
including Congress and, speaking of Mickey Mouse, and, a bunch of amendments that can affect, solar and, medicinal marijuana and all kinds of other crazy stuff that is on all these ballots that are important to many, many people. So definitely get your butt to one of the polling places. It's very easy now. You can vote today because most states have early voting. And you don't have to wait till November 8th to go ahead and do the vote.
You don't want to wait till November 8th. November 8th is going to be madhouse.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit crazy. We also want to give you a quick update on Seekers of the Lost World, our feature film. So we are wrapping up the first phase of post-production, which is the initial edit. We are continuing with our visual effects, and we're working on getting our sound together, as well as, a movie score, a soundtrack to the movie. So there's still a lot of work to be done, but we are progressing, and it's a lot of fun. We're having a good time with it, aren't we?
Yep.
And as we said before, definitely keep an eye out, because we will be putting out some information for investors that may want to invest as an executive producer in Seekers of the Lost Worlds, as well as opportunities for you yourself to be able to get involved if you don't want to be a big movie mogul guy, where you can actually help us out as well. So definitely keep an eye out for that. We'll have more information hopefully in the next couple weeks on that.
Next week, we'll be hopefully get a chance to talk to Curtis Ryan Woodside, who is a filmmaker who lives in South Africa. His new movie is going to be coming out shortly, and will even have a New York premiere.
Yeah, how about that? Big time New York premiere. Curtis was one of our first interviews with Transmissions from Atlantis. In fact, I think he was the first interview.
He was the first interview.
So it's kind of cool that we've seen his career progress as our careers have progressed, and it's going to be fun to have him back on and talk about his new movie, which is a continuation of his Hue series, right?
Yes.
So should be very interesting to talk to him about that. And again, don't forget, we will be at Conjuration in Atlanta this weekend, at Harry Potter Con. So if you love the Harry Potter universe, if you're a muggle or a wizard, come
and... Witch!
Or a witch. Well, you're a witch.
So, what? Excuse you. Bit slap you. With my wand. You can...
No, that's my job.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
But anyway... Hey! All right.
What? This is a family show.
And anyway, so definitely come and say hi to us, because we'd love to talk to you. We always love talking to our fans of the show. And we will be talking to you next week as well. So until then...
Allons-y.
Allons-y. Goodbye, everybody.
Allons-y. I should say allons-y, Morocco. Allons-y. Look sharp, Rose Tyler. Allons-y. And then it'd be really brilliant if I met someone called Alonzo. Because then I could say allons-y, Alonzo, every time.
Well, you can tell everybody, yeah, you can tell everybody, go ahead and tell everybody, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man, yes I am, yes I am, yes I am, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told, paid for every heart that I ever stole, I played my cards and I didn't fold, well it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still give my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.